Hello, my name is Deborah Hamilton. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk today. I'm a single mother who raised my two children from the age of 1 and 3 by myself. Natalie, my daughter, died a brutal, unnecessary death from a COVID vaccination, and I'm here today to tell her story. Her passing has almost broken me and her brother Hayden. It should never have happened. I want to stop this senseless tragedy occurring ever again to any other Australian, particularly the young. Natalie is officially recognised by the TGA as the 14th Australian to lose their life to the COVID vaccine. Natalie had 2 Pfizer vaccinations in 2021, and then she had the lethal Moderna vaccine shot in February 22 at the Amcal chemist in Roeville. I want you to be aware that I am not an anti-vaxxer and I am pro-vaccine. I myself have had 3 COVID vaccinations, but will definitely not be having any more. Myself and both my children had all their regular childhood vaccinations and are not against vaccinations that are fully tested over many years. My healthy 21-year-old daughter, Natalie Boyce, tragically died on my deceased mum's birth date on the 27th of March, 22. This is a picture of my daughter taken on New Year's Eve. Little did she or my family know that she would be deceased less than 3 months later because of an evil vaccine that was forced upon us all. Natalie was a healthy 21-year-old with her whole life ahead of her. She was a hard-working individual. She was working part-time and also studying full-time at Deakin University in Melbourne, a double degree in a Bachelor of Laws and Bachelor of Commerce. She was a hard-working student who loved her studies. She was passing with distinction and was excited for the life ahead. Natalie was strongly encouraged by her workplace to have the vaccine, or otherwise she would have to work from home. Deakin University also had the policy that for her to be able to study on campus, she must be fully vaccinated. The rules in Victoria we endured over lockdowns were so strict, she made the decision to have the vaccine so as not to feel isolated and any loneliness anymore and to be able to leave our home to attend work and study. Natalie reacted to the Moderna vaccine the very next day after having it. She fainted in her bedroom and remained in bed for the rest of the day. I called the COVID vaccine line for help, yet they were totally useless, and their response was to call an ambulance if I thought I needed one. You would have to question what the point of the government department was for when they could not assist. Was it just a waste of government funds? My daughter continued to be unwell with a fever, stomach pain and vomiting, so we attended her local GP, Wellness on Wellington in Roeville, who misdiagnosed her as having reflux and prescribed reflux medication and requested blood tests. The GP was advised at the appointment that Natalie had just had the Moderna vaccine and had not been well since having it. The GP did not order any tests for myocarditis. This same GP practice, Wellness on Wellington in Roeville, on the 24th of February this year, nearly a year to the date of her death, insensitively sent me a text to get my booster on the 24th of February. Money is obviously more important to them than people's lives. This text caused me severe emotional stress. That night after visiting the GP, Natalie was in a lot of pain. I knew she wasn't right, so I took her to the local public hospital, the Angus Hospital in Ferntree Gully. I was not allowed into the hospital because of government COVID regulations. No visitors were allowed, so I had to go home and wait. I was unable to advocate for her and to speak up for her. She was left sitting in the waiting room for hours until being seen. They too misdiagnosed her with reflux and sent her home. I question why I followed all the government rules and mandates and was triple vaccinated myself, but I was still not allowed to be present with my daughter when she needed me the most. What was the point of being vaccinated when I was still banned from supporting my child in hospital? Natalie did not improve, so I took her to Monash Hospital a week later. This was the biggest mistake of my life. This major Victorian public hospital was an absolute shambles. I went to the triage counter and gave Natalie's details and advised them that she had antiphospholipid syndrome and had not been well since the Moderna vaccine. The nurse did not know what APS was, so I had to spell it out for her to write it on the admission form. Then once again, I was sent away and not allowed to be with her, even though I was triple vaccinated. All the other patients were allowed a support person except my daughter. I have text messages still in my phone from her pleading for me to come and be with her as everyone else was allowed someone with them. This still haunts me today and probably will for the rest of my life. I desperately tried to enter the hospital to support and advocate for her, but they refused to let me in. What was the point of being vaccinated? All they did was give me a piece of paper with three phone numbers on it and advised me to call them. I tried to call the numbers, but the phone either rang out or was engaged. I wanted to get her out of Monash Hospital and take her to a private hospital to get the care that she deserved. Monash Hospital left her sitting in a chair for 8 hours with a drip in her arm and a full vomit bag. She was humiliated and, as it turns out, in serious heart failure, yet she was ignored by staff. They too misdiagnosed her and sent her home after about 16 hours. Doctors remarked that they were seeing a lot of these reactions after vaccinations, COVID vaccinations that is, especially a messy looking liver on an ultrasound. Still, they did nothing for her. They failed to investigate her heart despite all the signs and sent her home with a report saying she looked well and to follow up with a GP in a week. Then 36 hours later, Natalie was in extreme pain and was having trouble breathing. I called Triple O and I can't believe how I was treated by the ETSA call operator. I told her that my daughter had antiphospholipid syndrome, which is a blood clotting condition, and that I thought she had blood clots on the lungs. The operator dismissed me and refused to mark the call as a code 1 and to send an ambulance immediately, as Natalie was still conscious. The ETSA call operator said she was not sending an ambulance but would get a paramedic to call me back within half an hour and then they would decide if they would send an ambulance or not. I told the operator that I did not have half an hour to wait. I knew she was in trouble. I then made the decision to drive her to Mulgrave Private Hospital. On arrival at Mulgrave Private Hospital, even though Natalie was triple vaccinated as well by this stage, she was going in and out of consciousness, but we still had to follow COVID protocols again and wait 15 minutes for a negative COVID test until she could be seen by any medical person. When she was seen by the emergency doctor, she was diagnosed straight away as in serious heart failure, so they made arrangements for her to be transferred to the Alfred Hospital to receive more intensive care. Ambulance Victoria then sent a doctor straight away to care for her. It was a bit late when they should have come in the first place to my house. At about 2 a.m. the Sunday morning, she was finally transported from Mulgrave Private to the Alfred. This was about 10 hours after we arrived at Mulgrave, as they had to run tests and get her stable and ready for transport. Mulgrave Private allowed me to be in the emergency department the whole time and to be present with Natalie once they had her stable. If the ETSA call operator had sent an ambulance to my house, she would have been at the Alfred 10 hours earlier and the AV doctor would not have had to be with her all the time. What a complete waste, again, of government funds from errors. The AV doctor told me not to follow the ambulance as they were going to drive fast, but to meet them at the emergency department. She was sent in an adult retrieval ambulance to the Alfred. I was also disgusted that the highest ambulance in Victoria did not have the necessary equipment to transport her. The Ambulance Victoria doctor had to get approval to borrow the breathing equipment from Mulgrave Private Hospital for the transfer. How can they not have the right equipment when they're the highest ambulance in Victoria? This needs to be fixed for the future. I arrived at the Alfred around 2:30 a.m. and again was not allowed in to be with Natalie and told to go home, even though I was triple vaccinated. I was so distressed. Me being vaccinated again meant nothing. I was a mess and had to drive home for about 40 minutes To this day, I do not know how I got home with the state I was in. I sent 2 complaints to Daniel Andrews about this, saying that the ambulance system must be fixed. He never bothered to respond. My niece and her boyfriend have both studied paramedicine, yet they're both unable to get jobs. If the system is so broken, why are these new graduates not obtaining positions? If we have vaccinations to help the health system, why is the ambulance system still under so much pressure? The government needs to put more funding into the ambulance system and stop spending on advertising to get your booster. If there are no jobs for them on completion of their degrees for these students after studying, why are the university places being offered? My daughter Natalie Boyce spent 3 weeks in the ICU at the Alfred Hospital unconscious, and in that time her heart and body gradually collapsed, all because of the Moderna vaccine. Her heart and kidneys were failing. Her foot went black from a blood clot and she lost feeling in her leg. She couldn't breathe on her own and was put on the highest form of life support, the ECMO machine, which resulted in spinal cord damage. If she had have survived, Natalie most likely would never have walked again. This is the photo of my daughter in ICU as a result from the Moderna vaccine. All of this was caused by COVID vaccine and medical negligence of public hospitals and doctors. After her horrific ordeal, Natalie finally passed while having an MRI on the 27th of March 22, just 5 weeks after her Moderna booster. Her death certificate states that she died of myocardial infarction and that she had subacute myocarditis. The TGA released a statement in September 2022 stating that Natalie's death was likely related to the Moderna vaccine. Ironically, 2 days after her death, I caught COVID, even though I was triple vaxxed. Vaccination did not stop transmission as advertised by medical professionals and governments. During Natalie's time in the Alfred, the first week I was only allowed to visit for 1 hour for 3 days a week. The next 2 weeks the rules changed and I was granted 1 whole hour a day to visit my extremely sick daughter. This rule was so cruelly inhumane. My daughter was dying, yet I could only visit her for 1 hour every other day. I was her mother, triple vaccinated with 0 rights. However, the rules were different for the Premier of Victoria while he was in the Alfred. An Alfred nurse told me that Daniel Andrews was allowed visitors whenever he wanted, with no time limits. My daughter was critically ill and I was stopped from being there for her, yet the Victorian Premier could always have visitors as long as he liked. Why do some politicians not follow the rules that they enforce on others? Communication was appalling from all the hospitals. This caused incredible stress, not knowing what was going on and not being able to visit Natalie. I was told during my 1 hour visits that she had been resuscitated on several occasions, yet not one medical professional had bothered to call and let me know. Another time I arrived to find out that they'd put Natalie on dialysis, yet nobody from the Alfred rang me to tell me about this either. It was distressing and shocking to arrive to see more machines attached to my daughter. The Victorian Coroner's Office has advised that they are sick of Natalie's case and all the calls and attention that they receive about it. They will not answer my question on whether it will be a coronial inquest or not. They said it will only be an inquest if it is in the public's interest. How can a vaccine death not be in the public's interest? Is this another government cover-up? I was told in December 22 not to expect a coroner's report in 2023, so not within 2 years either, as nothing happens quick in the coroner's office. My request to have her samples preserved has also gone unanswered. I have also since discovered that there were warnings of the dangers of the vaccine in November 2021 for people with immune-compromised conditions. If I had have known this very real risk, Natalie would never have had another vaccine and I believe she would still be alive today. We made the fatal mistake of relying on mainstream media. Why was this medical warning not published and communicated to doctors and the public? And why is the community still being kept in the dark about the risk to the immune compromise? Where is the informed consent? I do not understand how politicians, government and mainstream media can still be pushing people to have COVID vaccines without long-term safety data. People have a right to make an informed decision. All of you know that my daughter died from Moderna, yet the government is still going ahead with a manufacturing plant in Victoria. How can this be justified? Is money and big pharmaceuticals more important than people's lives? Who will be held accountable for the deaths and injuries that will occur from this Moderna vaccine? The World Health Organization published last month that healthy children and adolescents no longer need to have the COVID vaccine. The TGA has only recognised 14 deaths of the 985 reported deaths as vaccine related, with Natalie's being the last one recognised. Why are so many of them not being acknowledged? Is the TGA really an independent body when it is a government department also? The government is building this Moderna production facility in Victoria. Surely this is a major conflict of interest. Who will be held accountable for any deaths and injuries occurring from Moderna vaccines that the government has backed? Money means more to the government than people. There are so many victims injured by these COVID vaccines. I suggest that you go and look on the internet for sites that report adverse reactions in considering this bill. Some examples to look at are Jab Injuries Australia on Instagram, Coverse, React 19, Real Not Rare, No More Silence, AU.com, How Bad Is My Batch? These are honest, true stories that the most mainstream media, for some reason, are not reporting. I've been contacted personally from many of these victims, and their stories are so harrowing too. The vaccine compensation scheme is an absolute fiasco, and most of the injured people can't access it. The processing times are ridiculous, and then most claims are rejected anyway. I would like to know, what price do you put on a human life? It is disgraceful, the compensation that you offer people for the long-term suffering. There is definitely no price for a human life. It is also very interesting to note that once I put my claim in March 2023, after my meeting with the TGA, the scheme details and definitions for Tier 3 were changed. How can you have a scheme that you update once a claim is lodged? All individuals should have a right to choose what vaccines and medications they put into their own bodies. The government, politicians, Fair Work Commission, etc. should never have the power to mandate vaccines and threaten people of being sacked and destitute. Yet 3 years on, vaccine mandates remain in place at most universities and for countless jobs impacting millions of Australians. No workplace ever should have the right to decide what vaccination an employee must take to be able to work. Will the employer be prepared to take the full legal responsibility and compensation if an injury or death occurs? Any of you that are here today that still push for compulsory vaccinations will be responsible for innocent people's deaths and injuries. I hold those pushing vaccines accountable for the death of my healthy daughter, Natalie Boyce. Moderna needs to be pulled from Australia immediately, so no other person should die from it. No parent should ever have their child die before them, especially at such a young age. She was healthy with her whole life ahead of her. This deadly COVID vaccine, ETSA, and incompetence of the hospitals and doctors took that away from her and my family. As for me personally, Natalie's death has destroyed my life and severely impacted her brother Hayden's and the rest of my family's life. Hayden never expected to be an only child at the age of 23. I'm a single mother who brought up Natalie and Hayden on my own from the time they were babies. We were a tight, loving unit that is now shattered. I hold those people pushing vaccines accountable for Natalie's death. Natalie had a wicked sense of humour and would always say to me, "You better be nice to me as I will be choosing your nursing home." I wish so much that she would have had that chance to do this. Instead, I had to arrange my daughter's funeral at the age of 21, and now I have her ashes with me at home. Stop compulsory vaccinations now before more deaths and injuries occur. Remove Moderna from Australia now, like many other countries such as Germany, France, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark and Iceland have for the under 30-year-olds. An employer has no right to force a COVID vaccination for an employee to remain employed. I ask you all today, are you able to live with the fact you know the COVID vaccine is causing deaths and injuries, yet you continue to support mandates? Would your view be different if your child was deceased and not my daughter? Aren't government policies meant to save lives and not to destroy them? Stop COVID vaccines now to stop this carnage. My daughter would be alive today if she'd not taken that Moderna vaccine. Natalie is not a statistic. She was my only daughter and she'll be living her life still. I beg of you, do not let this tragedy happen again. The fate of innocent Australians is in your hands. Natalie Boyce's life did matter. Thank you for allowing me to tell my family's story today.